Say it again, please.
Can you speak a little bit louder?
Yeah, let me try something here. Is that better?
It's a little better.
All right. Anybody else having trouble hearing me?
That's a good.
All right. Welcome
to Supernova.
Excuse me,
just to interrupt. Housekeeping. We are on a speakerphone, so we're going to put it on mute so you won't hear the background noise.
Okay. Ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Welcome to Supernova. My name's Rob Schaefer. Let me just give you a really quick overview of my background. I worked for Merrill Lynch for 36 years. I retired on my 36th anniversary. I produced for 12 of those years and managed for the rest of the time. My last 13 years, I managed the Merrill Lynch offices in Nashville and Memphis. During that time, I worked for Rob Knapp when Supernova was introduced at Merrill Lynch, so I've been with Supernova from the beginning. And I've been working with Rob specifically in Supernova for the last 5 years. So Supernova is part of who I am. I understand the process, and I always get excited to share it. It works. We're having wonderful success, get great feedback, and anxious to share that all with you. Let me give you a quick overview of what these 12 weeks will look like. The first 4 weeks are going to be spent on the segmentation of your practice. In other words, getting your practice down to its core. While that will be the primary focus, there'll be three other tasks. I want to help you establish a minimum for new business. I want to help you to develop your ideal client. And then finally hit the reset button on your practice. You all have a good practice already. I know you've recently formed, but when I look at the assets and the production, I know you're doing a lot of things right. I want to help you refine those and roll that out to your existing clients. The next 4 weeks will be used to get your practice organized in a repeatable way. A lot of people get organized. Getting organized is like a one-day thing. You got to stay organized. So we're going to get you organized in a way that you can repeat it. This is driven primarily through a folder system and an Excel spreadsheet that allows appointments to be efficiently scheduled. And then finally, the last 4 weeks are going to be spent on building acquisition strategies. Frankly, it's the part I enjoy the most and most FAs enjoy. After your practice is down to its core and it's organized, you have time and the increased confidence to grow your practice. Now, I'll be crossing over and back on some of these things. If somebody brings up something today that makes sense, it's a week nine topic, but something you can use, I'll cover it right then. But by and large, first 4 weeks on segmenting your practice, the second four on getting it organized, and the last four of the weekly sessions, helping you get it to grow more. Two other things: you have a Supernova guide. Homework assignments for the following week are at the end of the current week. For example, if you look on page 20, you'll find the homework for week two. Next, after every call, you're going to receive a link to a video that Rob Knapp puts together that will be helpful as you prepare for the next week. In the same email that gives you the link to the video will be a audio recording of this call. So if there's something you hear that you want to hear again, you're going to be able to do that. If you miss a call, you'll also obviously be able to go in and listen to the whole call. While the homework and watching the videos are really important, know that I've done your job. I know you got a lot going on. If there's a week you don't get everything done, keep showing up. I'll get you through it. If you don't get the homework done perfectly, don't worry about it. We'll get through everything. Any questions anybody has at this point?
No, not for us.
All right. Let's get started. Since this is our first, does everybody have to be off at the bottom? These calls take half an hour. We're very conscious of starting on time and ending on time. If I get to the bottom of the hour and I still got a few more things I can either cover then or throw it to next week, I will ask permission before I go past the 30 minutes. So we start on time, we end on time, unless you all have time to do more. Is there anybody who has to be off at 11:30 on the dot?
Yes, we have to be off at 11:30.
Okay, who's this?
Tim, Joel, and Melanie have to be off at 11:30.
I got it. Good. Thanks for that's what I needed to know. All right. I want to go over a couple of things just to get to know you all a little bit better. Will help me specifically talk with you. I've got your assets at 564, a little bit more production of the combined team at 3.4 and 888 households. Is the 888 are those is that everybody in the practice? Are those small accounts, large accounts? Is that the full number for the combined team?
So that is the full number, and it's by household, not individual clients. So, you know, if we have mom and dad and we have the brother and the son, that makes up one household. So each household could have 20 accounts.
Okay. Melanie, is that you?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the way we measure a household, Melanie. It's determined by the number of decision makers. If there's a husband and wife and one makes the decision for the other, that's counted as one household.
Okay.
If you have a husband and wife and they make their own decisions, that's two households.
I see. So they're treated separately.
Yes. And if you have adult children, then they are treated separately. If you have minor children, obviously they're with the husband and wife.
Right.
You thinking your number is would be higher than 888 or lower?
So our number is significantly higher than 888.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Good to know. Melanie, while you're on the line off mute, what is the minimum for new business in your practice?
My practice does not have a minimum.
Have you the practice as a whole doesn't have a minimum?
That's
some
correct.
People do, some people.
No, the three of us when we came together, we don't have a minimum. You know, Rob, one of our unique situations is for Tim and I, we are under, you know, what we call former advisor program agreement, meaning that if someone retired or passed away, that a snapshot is taken of their book of business, and we as their partner agree to pay them a percentage of the revenue that results from those clients for the next 5 years. So,
okay.
What that does, so Tim is under FAP agreements and Melanie's under FAP agreements and Joel is not. As we brought the three of us together, we do have some legacy, you know, households and small clients. The purpose of us wanting to do Supernova is to streamline that going forward and establish a minimum account size, establish, you know, those standards. We, as far as getting, you know, moving households to other FAs and that sort of thing, that's where we have a sticky situation with this FAP, because the agreement is between me, the advisor, and my business partner who passed away. So it's not as simple as, you know, Rob Knapp was talking to us the last time, and it's not exactly as normal as perhaps some of those folks you've coached before.
And then,
okay.
Rob, I'll interject and say, you know, this is Tim. For my situation, it is a retired financial advisor that I have an agreement with, and that agreement matures in a year and a half from now. And then I've got really ultimate freedom to truly segment the book and unload some of those lower households.
All right. Tim, is the agreement that goes for 18 more months, if you give up, you can't give up relationships, is because it could hurt the what you're paying to your to the person you have the agreement with?
That's the resulting outcome. Now, you know, we all have to sign a contract. It is sort of a legal and compliance type thing. Now, I don't know if there could be an arrangement with that former financial advisor, the retired individual, where, you know, perhaps I can get permission or some arrangement, you know, for him where there's no risk to him. I haven't really explored that.
Well, Melanie mentioned taking a snapshot, Tim. Is that the same thing that you did?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
So is that snapshot of production or grow or what he's getting paid? Here's where I'm going.
It's going to be based by Social Security number to the of the client.
I'm sorry, Tim and Rob, we have our branch manager, Michael Langner, also listening to a call. He can probably explain that a little too, he said.
Okay.
So these arrangements are set up for the retired FA, and it's to protect them over the course of the retirement, or in Matt's case, for his wife to receive revenues off those accounts. So it's very strict on what can be done with those accounts. And we have to make sure that we're just not sloughing accounts off. I don't mean to use that word the way it may have sounded, though, but just to get rid of accounts that could affect their income. The firm is very particular how we treat these accounts to protect those people that have retired or passed away.
So, Michael, even if you knew, and you don't, but if you knew that by giving up relationships, the team, RHO giving up relationships, production would increase.
But it won't but the problem is it may increase for the team, but it would not increase for the retiree who is protected just on that account. They're not getting paid on a book. They're being paid on specific accounts.
Okay. All right.
We have a place called the Client Advisory Center, which we can send smaller accounts. We can't send one of these accounts to that center. It has to stay at the branch.
Okay. Well, when you say it's done by account, you answered my question. Okay, I get it. Thanks. Going back to the minimum, does anybody in the team have a minimum for new business right now?
This is Joel.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, Rob. I don't have like a hard minimum, but I would say just based on the accounts that I'm getting these days, they're typically anywhere over, you know, 500 to 750,000 and then up, you know, so that's, I don't take accounts any smaller than that, but you know, probably 750 to a million. That's where new households are coming in at.
And that's sort of the same for me. I mean, I'm garnering new assets smaller than what Joel just mentioned, but for just new individuals, new clients, typically, you know, I will not take on someone under, say, 500,000.
Yeah, and that's the same for me too, Rob.
Okay. All right. All right. How long have you all been together?
Recent.
February the 1st was the date of the partnership.
Okay.
We started talking. All right. Rob, give you, and this is kind of relates to what Melanie was saying. So Melanie's partner passed away last July, and then she, then someone else in their partnership, George, is going to be retiring March the 31st. So things came together quickly in an effort to create a perception to her clients that, you know, they had a team of approximately six folks, and it went down to about two or three. Then her CSA has moved on. Now we have Katie on the team as well. So there's been a lot of dynamic change just happening to create a sense of perception. So now what we're doing is trying to create the standardized process that we can all adhere to, you know, knowing that we have these FAP agreements and, you know, different you know, just different ways we've done things. So that's just a little bit of a history there.
Have you formally rolled out the new team to your clients?
Well, we did an introductory letter to them introducing the team. So that was the first step of our formally rolling it out. And by creating the new joint production numbers, they will see the teammates on their client communication. And so we also have scheduled several events that will be educational events where we will be bringing clients together as part of this Supernova, our top clients together to meet the other advisors too.
Melanie, are you all going to work out of a pool number and then it's going to get split out?
Yeah, so what we did, we're the RHO group, the RHO, and we formed a joint production number that is between the three of us, and we will all be working out of that number, which that number, of course, doesn't have anything significant in it at this time because we're all operating kind of with our old books and our silos for Tim and I for FAP purposes. And for Joel, you know, until we get everything together, we're just going to be operating separately in those silos. But we know that if we don't get those silos efficient, we can't grow RHO.
Yeah. Yeah. So is the thought ultimately to be working out of a pool number where all the accounts are domiciled and then you'll split it out on a predetermined basis?
Yes, in the next 4.5 years.
Okay. All right. A lot to work with, Melanie.
It is. We understand. We understand it very well.
Yeah, well, I get it, though. I get it. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of questions here, folks, that each one of you might have a little bit different answer. So I'd like to get all the answers. Here's what I'd like to know. What does your ideal client look like? An ideal client at Supernova is made up of your minimum and the issues, the soft things you like about, the characteristics you like about your best clients. You've got clients that if Katie said so-and-so's on the phone, your face lights up. You've also got clients that if she says so-and-so's on the phone, you say, I'll call them back. What are the characteristics of your favorite clients, the people you really enjoy dealing with?
Yeah, I'll start. That's pretty easy. So obviously someone who has financial complexity, they're easy to work with. They get along with you. They listen. They take all of our they take my recommendations. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at my client list, and those are like my top 50. They have each anywhere from 750 to 20 million. And, you know, it's just easy to work with. You know, they don't create problems for us, and we want more of them. So that's easy. I'll let Tim or Melanie go from here.
Yeah, my ideal client is similar. I would say if I had to put a dollar figure, it's typically going to be a $1 million household and up. It's typically going to be multi-generational in the household, and it's typically going to be sort of the primary or lead person in that household referring the other family members. And I'll also say that the client buys into the financial planning process. and doesn't get so hung up about things we cannot control, which is benchmarking against some sort of index. But I would say a client who only pays attention or focused on their goals and whether or not their trajectory is following that pathway to that goal. So the other thing about that is those clientels are friendly to me. They're friendly to the staff, to Tammy. That's sort of the ideal client. Also, I would say those kinds of clients are typically interested in my personal well-being and my family. That also sort of is a description of some of these clients. So I can go on, but I'll stop there.
All right.
Go ahead. This is Melanie. I would say that my ideal client would, too, have, you know, more a complex situation, value my knowledge and my expertise in working with, you know, trusts and estates and things that are kind of looking at me as one of their go-tos along with their CPA and their attorney. Is what I mean by valuing that relationship, you know, so that I would be kind of the first one to call, you know, if they were even deciding whether to buy or lease a car sort of thing. And I think that person would also be a positive person, and that kind of goes into what Tim was saying as far as, you know, treat the staff and myself with respect. I think that I would like my ideal client would probably be more like $3 million. It seems that the less anxious people are about their cash flow and money, the easier it makes my job, and so that usually means a little bit wealthier person. I have a lot of clients that are female, have a lot of widows, and then I have some diverse clients, LGBT, maybe because they're just, it's just easier for them maybe to deal with a female, you know, I don't know. But that would probably be about it for mine.
Okay. All right. There's a little more information I want to gather. I'm going to do that, finish that off next week because I want to cover some other things here. We got, according to my clock, we got 8 more minutes. All right. Let me just, any one of the three of you, tell me what your competitive advantage is. And here's the way I want to set it up, and any three of you can answer it. Here's how I want to set up this competitive advantage question. I walk into your office, you're a prospect of mine, and we make small talk, and the prospect stands up and says, you know, Melanie, you're busy, I'm busy, let's cut to the chase. Why should I do business with you? That's how I want you to describe how you would answer as what your competitive advantage is. Any one of the three of you could answer that. What's your competitive advantage?
Yeah, and we've been talking about this some. I would say, you know, you have a team of certified financial planners with X number of years experience, and you have the knowledge and the resource of the firm of Morgan Stanley, as well as, you know, our proven ability to listen to what your unique situation is and help you with solutions so that you can reach your goals and successes.
Okay. All right, good. All important. CFP is really important. I got my CFP way back when. It made me a better FA as soon as I started studying. Everything you mentioned, experience, I can't put enough of a premium on experience. Experience is what gets you through the difficult times. At Supernova, we think service is your competitive advantage. We're in an industry that has inconsistent service, to be kind. A team that offers and delivers a consistent, superior level of service has a competitive advantage, and you know you can deliver it. So we think that that your competitive advantage is your service. And here's what your service model is. And I know you've heard this from Rob Knapp, but I want to just make sure everybody's looking at the same thing. Your service model is the core is monthly scheduled contact. I know that that you're thinking right now of people who that would work for and people who would say no. I will tell you that FAs get consistently surprised at who thinks this really likes the idea of monthly service, monthly scheduled contact. The second part is rapid response to problems, questions, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. And then the third part, and this was mentioned earlier in the ideal client, multi-generational, the third part is multi-generational and fully implemented planning. So that's your service model, monthly scheduled contact, rapid response to problems, questions, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard, and multi-generational and fully implemented planning. Now, let me demonstrate how that is a competitive advantage. I've seen our experience tells us the number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. Saw another survey that said it interviewed almost 1,400 FAs, and they said the number one reason they lost business, lost clients, was a failure to contact their clients on a regular basis. So you're sitting in with this client prospect, and, well, we're not big fans of saying negative things about the competition, but you could say to this, just say you're prospecting somebody who's with Merrill Lynch, and you say to that Ms. Jones, could you explain to me Merrill Lynch's service model? And Ms. Jones isn't going to be able to describe what Merrill Lynch's service model is. Chances are it's lacking just because service is inconsistent. I'm not picking on Merrill Lynch. And you say, well, let me explain what my service model is. And I think it'd help you understand my question better. Here's what all of my clients get. Ms. Jones, they get monthly scheduled contact to include four quarterly reviews and two of those face-to-face. Secondly, our clients receive rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. And finally, we offer multi-generational and fully implemented planning. Now, Ms. Jones, now that I've explained to you what my service model is, can you better explain what Merrill Lynch's service model is? Well, they're not going to have an answer. So you differentiate yourself in a market by having a service model. Everything at Supernova is built off of that service model. Any questions on that?
Rob, that sounds great, and I am fully on board. I'm just speaking for me. I don't want to work more hours in the week, so we may need to revisit that minimum because, you know, that's a lot of contact, and obviously that would have to be a delta, a change from where we are now, but if that means we have to get $2 or $3 million kind of clients like what Melanie's saying, then I'm on board with that.
Well, we're going to – Joel, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Joel, this all fits together. I just described the service model, but it all revolves around getting your practice down to its core. And we'll spend a lot of time starting next week doing that. You ask the right questions. For somebody that your team needs a minimum, but everybody uses, and I know you got the silos, and we can address that. And for the size of practice you have, there needs to be a minimum, and we'll determine what that minimum – get a glimpse of what that minimum may be next week. So,
Rob, I have one comment. So when would you suggest that we communicate the service model letter or to the clients, like the samples that you have in the book?
Well, that's the reason I ask how you've rolled it out with your clients, because it's a great way to roll out the new team is what's in it for the client.
Right.
And there are scripts that – say it again.
I mean, we can certainly still do that because what we rolled out was just a fact, the name, and here are the people.
Yeah.
So as a follow-up, this would be a great follow-up for us to send to certain clients.
Well, Melanie, this all fits together. I want you to be able to talk about what's in it for the client. We've and I want you to be able to say we've significantly reduced the number of people in our practice. I know you got the agreements, and I know you got the silos, but still, Melanie, unless it'll be highly unusual for there still not to be some folks that you all can send to the Wealth Advisory Center or whatever, Michael. I forget the name, Michael. I've forgotten the name. So I want you to be able to say that we've significantly reduce the size of the practice. I want you to be able to say that we've established a minimum for new business and all these things that all of a sudden the client sees, you know, this is different. So, we'll talk about that next week. Now, here's what I want you to do. As I said, the homework for next week is on page 20, but I'm going to send you something that I want you to bring two things to the call next week. I want you to bring a list of your clients high to low by assets and a list of your clients high to low by production. That'll be very useful to us. We'll have a little fun, maybe meet some people on those lists. We don't know. But bring those to the call. Now, about the homework. On page 20, I mentioned it's on page 20. There are a couple things there that I don't want you to fool with yet. It's too early. It says talk about, inform the first 20% of your clients that, you're sending them to another advisor. We're not going to talk about that right now. So, I do want you to, be thinking about, a little bit more about your ideal client. And I want you to bring those two lists, and I'm going to send you also something called points to make with retained clients as we begin to build a script for you all to use as you roll this new practice out to your folks. I think I've exceeded by a minute. Anybody got anything right now? I've kind of had to hurry because I didn't want to go over. Anything anybody else wants to discuss?
Yeah, thank you for your time.
All right, talk next week.